America Meditating Radio Show. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us.
Motivating thoughts from Randy Pausch's last lecture remind each of us to live our dreams.
Be creative every day.
Take a fun trip. Motivation. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Are you stressed, frustrated, or annoyed at work? You don't have to be. Soothe your mind and open your heart as Sister Jenna guides you through a peaceful, calming meditation that will prepare you to focus, be present, and most importantly, bring you back to your inner peace.
The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you will be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raja Yoga meditation, positive thinking, stress-free living, and personal development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org. Hi, my name is Missy Crutchfield with Gandhi's Bee Magazine, an online magazine designed to raise awareness and inspire people about all of the amazing things happening in the world, as well as all the challenging things that can help us raise awareness so we can make a difference in the world and be the change. One of my inspirations is Sister Jenna and America Meditating Radio. I listen, you should too.
Sister Jenna and the American Meditating Radio Show are the key to peace, truth, beauty, and all that is good in the world, which is why I am a confirmed listener. This is Valerie Alexander, author of Happiness as a Second Language. Everyone, and welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna, and I hope that the day finds you in a spirit of renewal. Sister Geeta and I have been running around the space talking to each other. You're changing your story? What's your story? What are you talking? What is the dialogue? What's the narrative that you are entertaining in that beautiful mind of yours? Because we do become attached to our stories. And the deeper the attachment of the story, the deeper the belief system. We just keep thinking from the attachment to the story. If the story is real or not, sometimes it just doesn't matter anymore. It's the attachment that defines for us if it's real or not. So my dear friends that are listening in on the air, tell me, what is your story? What's the story that you tell yourself first thing in the morning? I had two of my members here who were helping me and stuff, and I said, come on, you got to move, you got to move. And he's the yogi. Okay, by the way, he would make a snail win the race. He's that calm, that cool, that pace. And I looked at him today and I said, you've got to speed up because you all are around me and I am slowing down and it's not natural for me. I am driven by light and light moves with fast speed. And as long as my speed isn't peaceless, then I know I'm doing the right thing. So my question to him or to them was, what's slowing you down? What are you being attached to that makes you feel like you can't operate at the optimum level of light? So those are two big questions that I'm asking you all today. Homework and the America Meditating Radio. So what's the story that you're telling yourself? How attached are you to your story? And check, is something slowing you down? Is there something holding you back? You need to find the answer. It is in us. We are our own encyclopedia and we are our own go-to book that has the answers within. So as I allow you to, I invite you to contemplate on these thoughts and ideas. Stay tuned because we're going to have the beautiful Terry Cole on and we're going to have a heart-to-heart chit-chat. But before we go to Terry, let's go into a beautiful commentary on tranquility as you go into exploring these questions. Breathe in deeply. It is almost as if we are all actors greeting each other. Communicating through our bodies. With the thoughts and feelings we create in our minds. Seeing things in this way I feel a desire to only have those thoughts and feelings which help me to feel better about myself. For I know that these feelings are like energy. It reaches out and touches those around me. And create a pleasant
peaceful environment in which I live. Which I share with others around me. Peaceful, happy feeling. Bring tranquility and enjoyment in my life.
Welcome back. Wasn't that beautiful? Tranquility from the Healing Heart and Soul Meditation CD. I love Carmen Warrington. She has an incredible voice. And from down under in Australia. So we're going to get Sister Geeta on the line and have her take us into a special reading and poetry. Sister Geeta, are you with us?
Yes. Hi, good day. I trust we're all well. After the outer storm, I trust we didn't have too many inner storms happening. Okay. If you want to change your behavior, taking from a pocketbook of wisdom, changing your behavior. If you want to change your behavior, focus on the thinking which causes it. Thoughts are like seed. From them grow your attitude and in turn your actions. Contemplate, please. Have a great day. When you are engaged in creating something new, the impact of whatever is old is reduced. Om Shanti.
Welcome back. That was I'll Be Waiting by Lucinda Drayton on her Through Your Eyes CD. And I hope you enjoyed the reading by Sister Geeta as well. Well, the American Meditating Radio is really tickled to welcome Terry Cole. Terry is a licensed psychotherapist, transformation coach, and an expert at turning fear into freedom. Now that's huge, right? For almost 2 decades, Terry has empowered celebrities, professional athletes, and individuals alike through television, radio, and other media appearances, speaking engagements, workshops, to redesign, you know, their limiting mental blueprints. She is known for her holistic approach, combining practical psychological thought innovation and harnessing the power of intention to create a more sustainable change, because a lot of us go into change and don't really have the all to keep up what has shifted in them. So she's been a featured therapist on A&E Monster in Laws, the Lisa Oz Show. She writes regularly for Huffington Post and our friends at Positively Positive. And today we're really, really honored to welcome Terry to the AM show. Welcome, Terry.
Why, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Same here, same here. I'm glad for the work that you're doing. This morning I was talking to Sister Geeta about what's your story, and we joke around here a lot, but in all reality, we're really very serious. And so I've actually observed somebody carrying a story of, I'm not well, I've been abandoned, I was abused for decades. You get a client like that, and they have said that it has served something in them to feel less than, and it has become their comfort blanket, even though they're really tearing apart on the inside. What are just maybe 2 or 3 steps that you would offer a client that would come to you with such a consistent narrative, Terry, that is just of the victim, what went wrong, I'm so less than?
Well, the first thing is that we need to make sure that that story was actually honored in some way, because part of the compulsion to repeat it is that it's still supercharged. So if the person hasn't had therapy or hasn't really unpacked it, rather than it just being a story where you continue to say it, which of course keeps you down and keeps you in that place, if you honor it by writing out what happened, by asking a trusted friend or a clergy member or a therapist to witness what really happened to your small self, your child self, there's a lot of movement that can happen with just a burning ritual around honoring, like once and for all, you know, like tell that sad, tired, old story one last time, but make sure it's witnessed by someone who won't give you their opinion, who is just holding space and really witnessing, because people do experience these traumatic, terrible things. But what they don't see is that it becomes a prison of their own making. They have the keys, which is what you're saying, to change that story, to let themselves out. But they have to honor it. It has to be honored at least once, I feel like.
Right. And it's just like, it almost seems like the hardest thing to do is to honor it, because to honor it would actually to say, I am now free and now I've really got to get on with life. Have you ever experienced just being in a place where it was just okay to keep blaming or being in that stuckedness, that it gave you permission to not try to see how great you were at the level of your origin or your, right?
I mean, I always talk with my clients about this, you know, about this. If they're going to make the changes that we're talking about, they're required to give up the victim mentality. And you said something that I thought was interesting. You said like it was like a security blanket, right?
Right.
And I always talk with my clients and I say, you think unconsciously that you need this little whoopee, this little blankie. But the truth is, you're telling me this blankie still keeps you warm, and I'm telling you it's chock full of SOS pads and glass, and it's actually making your arm bleed, and it's not keeping you warm at all. Like, you don't need it. So I thought it was a funny visual that you said, you know, they see it as a security blanket, because I agree 100%.
Right. So now let our listeners know about the unfolding story of Terry Cole. Was she born empathetic and in complete service to the lives of others? Or what was going on with Terry, you know? Like, what has been morphing you into these areas of conversation and reality? Because if you've noticed in the last 10 years, they're amplifying so much more. There's I wouldn't say mushroom, but there are communities now and individuals in our world that are really asking humanity, turn inwards and find your cure.
How did you start to do that?
Well, I think that a lot of people who do what I do, at least I did, I had a dark night of the soul experience. I had always been very interested in therapy. I started therapy, my own therapy, when I was 19 years old. I stopped drinking when I was 21 years old. I definitely had a desire to do something different than what I had seen in my own family system. So I was on that path, but I was a talent agent. That was my first career. And so I was very successful young because I was the fourth daughter of a father who I believed really wanted a son. So I was proving something, feeling compelled to prove something in my life with my success. And then I was diagnosed with cancer.
Hmm.
And that just
game changer.
Gave me a lot of... Yeah. Nothing like a cancer diagnosis to wake you up to what you are doing and what you're not doing. And I really had to ask myself, you know, if this cancer were to shorten my life, would I be able to say I was living my best life?
Yeah, my mother is also a survivor of cancer, so I've lived through the stages that one goes through, and I think the question that you're asking, you know, if my life was to be shorter, have I lived my life to the fullest? So you got a wake-up call, and after the wake-up call, what started to happen for Terry? What did she do that was different that is now making her feel like she's more in control of who she needs to feel like in her life?
Well, I stopped being a talent agent. I went back to school. I got my master's. I became a psychotherapist. I got on a healing journey. I got on a meditation journey. I got really healthy, started green juicing. I fell in love with my husband all at the same time. I met, you know, the most important thing of my entire life happened. I met my husband, who was a widower with three sons. At that time, they were three acting out young teenage, very angry boys. And of course, now they're 20 years later, they're grown up men having children of their own. But those things all converged and it changed where I was going. And I felt so grateful that my time wasn't going to be shortened so that I could actually have this incarnation of truly being of service and helping people live more full lives, actually rocking their dharma, doing what they were meant to do on the planet. Right? Because if you weren't doing what you were meant to do and I wasn't doing, no one else can do what Sister Jenna does. You know what I mean?
I totally know what that means.
Like, just right. you're just it for what you're doing very uniquely right. And specifically in this niche of really impacting like zillions of people to step more fully into a life of service, love, importance, and self-love. And there was something, and this is like a non sequitur, I hope it's okay, but I wanted to say something about something I've read that you had written in Huffington Post in November that is such a part of what I do with clients. You were basically talking about, the quote was, if we cannot love and accept ourselves by means of sacred acceptance, will it ever be possible to love God and others from the depths of our own being where love resides?
Mm-hmm. And I remember that very well.
It really had me thinking, it's such a profound question, and it's such an important question because the answer, I can tell you as a psychotherapist for 18 years, is that if you cannot love and accept yourself with this sacred acceptance, you will not, it is not possible, in my experience, to really love others in a real way because we're looking for something else. When we don't love, accept, and I add, celebrate ourselves, our uniqueness, the way we are right now in this moment, the path that we're on, the mistakes that we've made, the good things that we do, then we're always going to be looking for someone else, for this external approval to tell us, you know, we're okay, you're okay. In order to love others in a real way, I mean, I always said that self-love is the only path to true love, to real love, because the rest of it is just acting out unresolved pain.
Amen. You know, our friends, you're like a kindred spirit. Our friends came by the Meditation Museum yesterday, Michael and Ricky Beckwith from Agape.
Oh.
And my mom, my mom gave them this package of gifts. She loves to give away things. She's just got this heart of gold. And as I glanced over to the bag that she chose to put their gifts in, it had celebrate on it. And since the beginning of the year, this has been my theme word, celebrate, Jen. You are so fortunate. Keep celebrating. It's a celebration of what you have called into your life and what God has given you the courage to keep sustaining. And I want to move into, you know, the importance of meditation and why we decided to invest in a show like this is to call people to understand that meditation, for me at least, let me be clear, and for many of us here, we don't think it's to sit down and empty thoughts, but we do believe it is a process that you can do when you're sitting, walking, eating, enduring chemo, dealing with yourself where you are having a conversation in your mind to move away from waste and negative thoughts. That's a meditator for me, and that's how we meditate. I'm constantly trying to move out the negative narrative and bring in the more elevated conversation in my mind so I can feel God's love. I can feel the divinity of God in my being. When you meditate and when you use your process of meditation, what method that you use and how can we learn more about that method and maybe look forward to some of the benefits of that method?
Well, I personally, I do a bunch of different kinds of meditation, but my main meditation, my daily meditation twice a day, is primordial sound meditation, which is very much like transcendental meditation. So it's I have my own mantra that I repeat silently in my mind. Before I go into meditation, I ask the three questions over and over, sort of, and then I just exhale it out into the universe. And the questions are, who am I? What do I really, really want? And what is my dharma? How can I serve? How can I help? How can I heal myself and others through my unique and special gifts and talents? And so it's probably maybe one of the only times during the day that I'm asking these questions and creating enough expansion to hear the answers, the whispering of my soul, God speaking, my divine intuition. Whatever it is that you believe it is, I think that praying is talking to God. I believe that meditation is listening.
Absolutely. And I find that to be one of the most crucial things that we must keep emphasizing, because if we are good listeners, we will be able to hear if we're listening from a level of love or if we're listening from a level of attachment, and how that attachment might be moving us further away from our ultimate purpose. So who am I? What do I want? You know, and one of the things that my great-grand-aunt says, who do I belong to? Because we're constantly walking around on the planet wanting to belong to something. And she always says, Jen, make sure ultimately when you start to ask who you belong to, always make the basis of your belonging with the Supreme Being, so that wherever you end up, you will always be more than enough.
Beautiful, yeah. It's funny, the belonging question. Even as a young child, I felt like a citizen of the human race. Even as a kid, I felt incredibly connected to other people, to other people's suffering, definitely. So super empathic, even as a child. But I feel like some people don't feel that way. I really do feel like the human race is my family, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really want us to keep moving more towards that, because when we just look at all the theater in politics today and all the theater that we bump into with corporate, and even just the theater of the media, Terry, it's like I'm wondering to myself, is this the only way you can make money to pay your mortgage? Really? And it just makes me so concerned that these particular bodies, whether it's politics or the media or corporate, they have so much influence on the world, but for some reason they feel to perhaps dictate to the conscience of the society to make 90% of the world feel like they're less than is the way that they could stay on top. I'm not fully into investing in that at all. I want to talk about just one thing where you have this inspiration of your new course, the Real Love Course. Mm-hmm. And what has your romantic history even taught you about love? Because perhaps at the end of the journey, we really are supposed to leave with the love that we entered in.
Well, my background, my history is being, as I said before, being the fourth daughter of a very successful white-collar dad who I thought really wanted a son. That was one thing that really influenced my ambition, certainly as a young person, and even now I'm sure it still influences me. But my parents' relationship also heavily influenced me, so all of the messages that I got from my mother were that I should really get my education on and make my own money so that love could be a choice and not a need, because whether she said it outwardly or not, I knew that she felt trapped. She had to drop out of college. She was pregnant. There was all of those types of things. So my history before my husband was, I was very committed. I was sort of that serial monogamous. But as soon as the person wanted to move in together or get engaged, they would say, I think we should get engaged. And I would say, I think we should break up. Or they would say, I think we should move in together. And I would say, I think we should break up. And so I really never thought, I just was in this acceptance that I was going to have all these other beautiful things in my life. but that marriage and lasting love with one partner probably wouldn't be one of those things. But I had great relationships. I had the same friends in second grade. I have amazing sisters and a mother. I thought that was okay, you know, until I had a lot of therapy. And I really realized that really that was just this limiting downloaded blueprint in my unconscious mind for my parents. And that really was just the way it was for them, but that I could choose a different narrative for myself. And then I did. And I went about changing my mind about what was possible for me. And then within 6 months, I met my husband. We've been together almost 20 years. He wasn't anything if I had stuck to that, you know, what you say on paper thing. He was 10 years older than me. He was widowed and divorced and had 3 acting out teenage sons who lived in New Jersey. There was a million reasons for him to not be the right person for me.
Right, right.
But he was the right person for me because my mind was now opened to that possibility. Mm.
I love that. You know, I spoke to a lady last night, and she heads a very large movement, and she's now, you know, in her 70s, and she was very sad last night, Terry. She was sad because she felt like she has placed her personal life on pause for her career, and now she's accomplished, retired, and there's no one to turn to next to her. And of course, I can say all the things that I can say. Well, turn to yourself and you have a relationship with God. But the reality is at this moment is I don't have someone I can turn to. If I told her, get a puppy, that's a beginning. And it just shifted her whole, it just shifted like, I never thought of that. Only because, okay, a puppy has got a soul and you're just looking to have a relationship with a soul. So let's activate your love from that level first. And let's just trust that if you're supposed to have a companion till that final breath in this lifetime, trust and know it will show up in front of you if that's what's written for you to do.
Yes, but I do agree that, you know, what are the things that dull our love light, right? There are all of these stories, like you started this show today off talking about what is your story? What is your story? What is your story? And this is another perfect place where someone's mm-hmm. story, if they feel unworthy, unlovable, like they missed the boat, like it's too late for them,
mm-hmm.
then that's what it is. You know Louise Hay, obviously.
Yes, of course. Yes, yes.
The queen of affirmations, and I love her. She said something one time that was so mind-blowing to me about this. So I'll share it super quick. But I was at something. This is before I was affiliated with Hay House. I was in the audience. I was just a participant. And she said, how many people in this audience think they're behind? 350 people just put their hand up. How many people think they should be further along in their marriage, their love life, their career, their weight loss, their health, their whatever? And right. literally every person raised their hand, including me. And then mm-hmm. she said, I didn't even get on a spiritual path until I was 52, and I didn't start Hay House until I was 60.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly
love
I felt
it.
Like I was right on time. I was right on time. It was all going to work out.
Oh, that was a beautiful way to end the conversation. That's powerful because it leaves us to always believe that wherever we are is exactly where we're supposed to be, but never give up on your next second or your next moment. It could be that
exactly.
other aha, you know, that continues the story. Terry, I loved talking with you. I would love to actually have more of a conversation with you. We didn't even go into your expert advice on fear, so that means I'm going to have to do a part two with you.
Right on, Sister Jenna. This is so much fun. Anytime, and I definitely am going to be calling you to be on my podcast.
Oh, beautiful. So listen, leave us with a favorite life quote, even though you've left us with a lot as it is, but also with
okay.
a website that we can get a hold of you.
Sure. My website is terricole.com, which is TerriCole.com. And one of my favorite personal quotes, my actual quote is, when you feel yourself swimming upstream, just flip over and float.
Love it. Love it. Beautiful. Terry Cole, thank you so much. Stay healthy and lots of love and light your way.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful sharing from Terry today, folks. I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly did. But I think more than anything is I loved her vibes from her spirit. You can always tell from a person's essence, you know, the fragrance of what vibrates through them about the work that they have done or the work that they're continuing to do. And if you're like me, you must have picked up that this is definitely an authentic and beautiful spirit. So we're going to invite you to definitely support Terry's work and go to her website. It's Terri, TerriCole.com. lots of nuggets that Terry gave us. And I'm going to leave this in your hands to send us some thoughts and ideas, something that might have touched you or amplified something in you, but could be a life crisis that actually wakes you up and says, I need to live me to the fullest. There's so much more that I can do. And I believe that. I believe that. And just in closing, last year alone, we did over 200 events at the museums, right? And I don't know how many miles I traveled, how many lectures, how many workshops, how many kids, how many people I met. And I remembered when 2016 came and I told everyone in my staff, it was crazy what happened last year. This year, I want to serve my mind so that my mind can be very powerful. And even within all of that, I have to tell you, serve your mind, but still stay active. Let that light keep shining through you so you can see that capacity is something that continues to always expand and flows through you. And if light is coming in, you will keep flowing and you will keep increasing your capacity. And your mind might just maintain its friendship with you because you're living life to the fullest. Thank you so much for joining us on the air today. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. So let's keep doing that. And if you're going to change the world, then just start with changing yourself, okay? Take care, my friends. We're going to end today's show with our wonderful friend, Snatam Kaur. Ade Dasai Ade.